We have Frank Critelli on guitar, so a local musician. And then we have some new guests from last week. So the Drunk Alpaca is here, the KCS Cheese Truck is here, and also Flatland Alpacas. So you'll see those when we go through. I think most of the other vendors were here last week as well.
Are the musicians grown and born here, or are they imported?
You know, I'm not sure where Frank was born, but he is a Connecticut musician.
That was Amelia Reese Masterson. She's the executive director of City Seed, a nonprofit that runs multiple farmers markets right here in New Haven. She'll be the last of the three voices you'll hear in this story on how proponents of local food systems define sustainability. Moreover, you'll hear how their views on sustainability shape their practices. Oh yeah, don't worry too much about Frank Cotelli. I promise you'll hear him sing by the end of this story. Act 1. To the Farm with Domingo. We're about to meet Domingo Medina, the founder of Peels and Wheels Composting. I interviewed him while we biked around New Haven, picking up his client's compost on President's Day weekend back in February. Here's him explaining his thoughts on food sustainability.
Sustainability is like this thing, like the, you know, this messiah that's going to come one day. You never know when it's going to come, but it reconforts you that it's going to come one day. For me, if you don't do anything about, you know, trying to bring the messiah, you know, it's not going to come. That's my philosophy, at least. You have to make it happen, and it has to be. It has to do with your choices and your decisions. Okay, let me pour this one. Okay, cool. So one thing that I talk about is that you can see in the stickers of the cars, many people say no farms, no food, and so I never know. I always wanted to stop people. Say, what do you mean by no farms, no food? And say, of course, the expected answer is that if there's nobody that produces food in a farm, then, you know, we don't have food. Yeah, but what are you implying that way? You know, why do you have in your stick? It means that you support farms. Okay, in what way do you support farms? You go to farmers market, you buy local, you help in legislations that protect farms. I mean, what do you actually do to make sure that farms don't go away? Or you're a farmer yourself, so that's the type of audience that I would like to tackle. Because one way to help farms also is by composting. If we can actually earmark compost to urban farms and rural farms, then farmers don't need to invest so much in fertilizers, for instance, or you know, and you can reduce again the amount of. You can take advantage of resource that's produced in the urban space for growing food. So that's another way of doing it.
Domingo believes composting can change people's behaviors by making people feel closer to their farms. The best way to effectively change people's behaviors is to understand their habits and their schedules.
Well, Mondays are the pickup days. I chose Monday because you know it's the first after people have. Gone over the weekend and probably do a lot of cooking and partying and meeting with people. Probably that's where they mostly collect the food scraps. So Monday is a good day for picking up. That's the arrangement. Sometimes I change it depending on the weather or some other arrangement. So Monday after 9 is always a nice way to start because you can see the traffic on Whitney Avenue starts to come down. You have all the people coming from Hamden that are commuting and it's hard to drive around where people are desperate to go downtown. So after 9 will be, you know, the kids are in school, so you can start riding nicely.
If you compost with Peels and Wheels, Domingo will provide you a compost bin that will hold up to either 2.4 gallons of food waste or 5 gallons.
I have a little scale to be able to weigh the bins. So I weigh the bins. This one is 4.95. And I have a little application that I made here on the phone where I can go. I have a list of people that I pick up from. I put that I collected. The weight is 4.95. And then it will do an automatic adjustment for me based on the weight of the bin. And I just record the pickup time. So these are just ways to have control of where I've gone and where I picked up from and the weight. The weight is important because for two reasons. One, because I do my carbon to nitrogen ratio mixing on the farm, and I need to weigh everything. So if I weigh it ahead of time, I don't need to do it at the farm. And the other thing is that I keep records of people the waste that they have set aside, because I can calculate the carbon footprint. So it's just a bit of understanding their impact by doing what they're doing. So that's it.
If you're a client, you'll learn about your carbon impact on a weekly basis. After he weighs your bin, you'll promptly receive an email about it. You may even find yourself emailing him to make sure your compost reaches him.
People start writing, "It's President's Day, are you going to come?" I haven't said differently. I would have told you differently, but then... And that's fine, you know, that means people are concerned about, you know, are you going to leave me this way with me, or are you going to do something about it? Okay, hi Domingo, just making sure you're still picking up compost day despite the holiday. You see, people are holding me accountable. That's fine.
Domingo's happy to be joking about all this, especially since he's found his service able to implant an environmental conscience in his clients.
They feel bad throwing food waste.
Yeah.
Then soon they realize, wow, my trash bag is just getting smaller and smaller and smaller, so they use less bag. And then it becomes a habit, and then they feel, you know, that this is something that they can do and they feel comfortable with. Before, they have just the idea of composting. Some of them have had the experiences before, like the people from Oregon and San Francisco. But those that are new, you know, they had a hard time saying yes first. But they were linked to the farm. And they were linked to the farm, and they wanted to help the farm. But those that I was able to persuade to try them out, now they're finding that it's a great thing. And they actually miss it when they are traveling and they're visiting friends and they have to throw something out. They feel bad because they are accustomed to do something different at home.
Not all of Domingo's clients include 20-something West Coast environmentalists. A growing portion of his clientele is families.
I saw the parents in the summertime and say, "Oh, my kids keep on saying that we should compost. I'll give you a call, and that took a while until they finally called. Say, finally, you know, I had the parent told me it was, you know, there was enough push, so we decided to do so. So that was an interesting experience. Because is people, the adults have it in their mind that they want to compost, but probably never make the decision. And this is the first time I hear, you know, actually kid persuading their parents to do composting stuff. It's pretty cool.
Several New Haven nonprofits and businesses have also partnered with Peels and Wheels, including New Haven Farms. Domingo processes the compost at their farm behind Phoenix Press in Fairhaven. If you, as a client, decide not to receive the finished compost twice a year, it'll be directly donated to New Haven Farms, a practice he maintained from when the program was still a nonprofit. That said, not everyone's happy about having to pay for compost.
You know, they argue whether we pay for electricity or for gas or for trash or for phones. But you ask people to pay for composting and say, what is it? Are you crazy? You know, I can give you my food's trash, but why should I pay for it?
Domingo thinks the return on investment of composting outweighs the cost to do it, especially since it benefits both the local environmental impact by making use of food waste and the local economy by producing jobs for New Haven producers, like New Haven Farms. Where we'll go next. Act 2, at the farm with Jacqueline. We're about to listen to Jacqueline Maison-Pierre, the farm director for New Haven Farms. I interviewed her while she potted tomato plants at the greenhouse on Ferry Street in Fairhaven, early this May. Here's her on why everyone should be food sustainable.
I think everyone should be growing more of their own food. It doesn't matter where you live. If you live in an apartment building or if you live in a, you know, have a quarter acre lot somewhere, everyone should be growing more of their own food and prioritizing food more and not looking for the cheapest source of things. As a country, we spend very little of our income on food. Most other developed countries spend a whole lot more on food, and I think we all need to value and understand that, you know, maybe spend a little bit more now and you'll save later on your own, your healthcare costs. And so I really believe in looking at food as medicine and understanding that connection between
eating healthily and like the future of your health and what's happening with you and your family.
Jacqueline views food sustainability not only as a good environmental practice or a good economic practice, but also as a good personal health practice.
The woman who hired me wanted to farm organically and really believed in that as well. And so that was something that they prioritized. And so many like small scale, so much small scale production is organic because it's more manageable at a smaller scale. But I think in terms of sustainability, I think we all have a responsibility to focus on like taking care of ourselves more, both with nutrition and, you know, in so many different ways. We've lost such touch with so much that happens. Humans aren't producers anymore. We're just like consume and outsource what we need to other people. And I think gardening really puts people in touch with such a basic form of survival, that it's really beautiful to see. I mean, families that had no concept of food being something that they could grow or knew their grandparents did it but had no connection and were scared of diving into it, and just showing them that they too can do that, even if they live in an apartment building. And living in a city does not mean you can't produce some amount of your own food, and create community while you're doing it, and, you know, meet other people and show your kids how to grow as well. And it's really been amazing to see families that have never been exposed to growing their own food really convert and now are active members in our community garden, and are so excited about the food that they're growing, and are really understanding more about the food system, which is an awesome way for them to have exposure to it.
New Haven Farms runs a farm-based wellness program, with medically underserved families being referred by Fairhaven Community Health Center and Cornell Scott Hill Health Center. The primary family members referred are patients at risk for, or have, diet-related chronic health conditions living below the federal poverty line. Families come for the summer growing season to their farm behind Phoenix Press to participate in bilingual Spanish-English classes on gardening, nutrition, and cooking. Families take home a share of the produce grown at the farm to prepare their own meals to meet their own health goals. New Haven Farms runs monthly support groups to help families keep up with these health goals, even outside the summer season.
It's a community health project. We promote health and community development through urban agriculture. So urban agriculture is our tool by which we are promoting health. I farm all organically. I'm not certified, but practice all organic methods. And we also really are dedicated to getting more healthy produce into neighborhoods that don't have that much access. So we run a little farm stand here, and we accept SNAP and WIC checks and are able to double those and really have it be affordable. And
SNAP is a Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program provided by the federal government through states for low-income individuals. WIC is the Women, Infants, Children Supplemental Nutrition Program provided by the federal government through states for low-income mothers.
Families, if they volunteer in the garden, they're able to kind of get produce as well. So trying to really make it accessible, but it takes time. Like, we've been here for 3 years and people are finally really feeling comfortable to come into the garden and have heard about it and want to buy from us. So it really takes a lot of time to build relationships and gain trust in the community. And now it's really great. We have people from the community working here with us in the gardens, both paid and volunteers. So definitely have a lot of good traction and feel like we're doing really great work and have gotten a lot of positive kind of feedback from the community.
Jacqueline stated the primary goal of New Haven Farms is to make sure that families are eating more fruits and vegetables, regardless of how they're produced. Nevertheless, New Haven Farms maintains organic practices to produce their own. So I asked Jacqueline why.
Yeah, I mean, I believe personally very much in organic agriculture and don't want to be neither exposing myself nor anyone in the community to any pesticides that are harmful to humans or soil health, and really know the benefits of organic agriculture in terms of keeping the soil healthy and keeping pollinators healthy and all of that. So I certainly wouldn't be involved as a farm director if it weren't organic, since that's my background and my belief system. I only use organic you know, pesticides, when I'm spraying all organic certified stuff, I use organic topsoil and organic seeds and follow organic practices. But I'm not certified because it just doesn't make sense for, we don't need that. It's not like our produce, people aren't looking to make sure we're certified. We're giving away most of our produce, so I don't need to go through all of that work to get certified.
Even more than practicing organic, Jacqueline believes local food systems are best.
Yeah, I think it's tricky because organic is now this like word that's been like co-opted, and these big companies that organic is, you know, working with the soil, working with the ecosystem, and now there are these big companies that are just, you know, lobbying to change the laws to make things certified organic, and they're not really working with the ecosystem or building soil health. And so I think it is a little controversial. And you know, if local organic is great, but it's not affordable to everyone, it's obviously out of reach for a lot of people. And if you're going to do like Cascadian Farm organic from California or conventional from your neighbor, like go with local, go conventional. But so because food miles is an issue and keeping farms in the area is a big thing. So I think really knowing who you're buying from doesn't necessarily need to be certified organic, but kind of know what their practices are. And maybe they're not certified because it just doesn't make sense for them, but they really do practice organic methods. So it's definitely super complicated, this country, with lobbying and corporations kind of seeing that they can make money because there's big growth in this sector. Things get blurred. In terms of agriculture and sustainability, I think trying to keep farms present, and Connecticut has a very high rate of losing farms because land is so valuable here. So I think buying from farms here in Connecticut really helps keep production in Connecticut, and that's something we need as a young farmer. It's like pretty cost prohibitive to buy land and make that happen. And so I think buying food that's produced locally ensures us to have a more robust food system and be more independent. I mean, we're getting so much food from California, and when we can grow a lot here in New England as well.
Jacqueline believes the tool of urban farming has allowed New Haven Farms to be partners in health and sustainability with its community members. New Haven Farms is not alone providing such support to these New Haven residents. City Seed tries to be supportive by organizing farmers markets. Act 3, From the Farm with Amelia. We're about to re-meet Amelia Reese Masterson, the executive director of City Seed. I interviewed her at the second outdoor Wooster Squares Farmers Market back in April. Here's her defining sustainability.
Able to survive without outside inputs, able to be self-replicating, self-perpetuating.
Amelia brought up the environmental aspect of sustainability and the economic aspect of it. So I asked her if people could do both without one aspect interfering with the other.
I would say they work together. I mean, so our aim is to contribute to both. So environmental and economic sustainability. And I think because we work with farmers and we work to support farm viability in Connecticut, it is both. You know, we're hoping to, maintain or help farmers maintain their farms independently, and I think, you know, also contributing to economic development in New Haven. So around $2 million is circulated back into the local economy through these markets.
That $2 million figure is an estimate based on yearly sales data from their vendors. $2 million circulating in the local economy sounds like a whole lot of good for New Haven. Amelia thinks the economic impact matters even more so because it also comes from low-income residents participating through programs like SNAP.
My background is in public health nutrition and food security work. So, you know, the mission of City Seed is to support farm viability across the state of Connecticut, but also to address food insecurity and food access issues in Greater New Haven. So I bring a lot of that background here, especially around food security programming. And we, you know, we do a mix of things to address that here at City Seed. Markets are just one thing we do, but, you know, at the markets we have SNAP redemption and we double the value of SNAP for our customers. And then we also have farmers market nutrition coupons, which we redeem here. So all with a view to make fresh food more accessible in New Haven.
By doubling the value of funds provided through programs like SNAP, low-income individuals are able to get more for their dollar at outlets like City Seed Farmers Market and New Haven Farms. City Seed does this to help reduce food insecurity in New Haven.
Food insecurity in New Haven is at 22%. That's much higher than the state of Connecticut. And, you know, in certain neighborhoods, it's even higher. So in low-income neighborhoods, it's, I believe, 32%.
Amelia is referring to 2015 statistics from the Community Alliance for Research and Engagement here in New Haven. The food insecurity rate is actually 35% for low-income neighborhoods in New Haven and 22% for all their New Haven neighborhoods, compared to 12% for the state of Connecticut. The 50% rate she cites next for Hispanic residents in New Haven is accurate.
So it really is correlated with income. It's also correlated with race ethnicity. So in Hispanic Latino populations in New Haven, it's up to 50%. So, you know, I think there are a lot of factors that contribute to food insecurity. It could be the built environment. It's also income. I think access to food is, you know, it's related to where people can seek food in their neighborhoods. So a lot of neighborhoods, people have to walk an hour just to get fresh fruits and vegetables and bring them back home.
She views accessibility as the biggest obstacle to making these residents food secure.
You know, there are many barriers to food access in New Haven. So things like transportation, obviously affordability of food, not having enough SNAP coupons or enough benefits to be able to redeem for fresh foods. And then things like mobility. So there are a number of things we do to address very specifically those barriers to food access in New Haven. We have cooking classes, community cooking classes to teach about different aspects of, you know, how to use different fresh foods, how to incorporate more fruits and vegetables into cooking and diets, family meals.
For Amelia and City Seed, making local food locally available is best.
For our markets, local is defined as produced in Connecticut. I think, you know, it's definitely easier for vendors to sign on to the market if they can get here within an hour, an hour or two.
However, where the farmers markets are made available has a direct effect on the accessibility of them to low-income residents. So, I asked her about the breakdown of what percentage of consumers use benefits like SNAP at the different City Seed farmers markets.
Yeah, I wish I had the percent. So I know, you know, since we started, we've redeemed 84,000 in SNAP benefits, and then we double the value of that up to $10 per person. So it is a good portion. It depends on the market as well. So different markets have a different makeup. Like Fairhaven, I think it's a higher percent in terms of SNAP spending of overall spending. And then downtown as well. And then our mobile market, which I didn't mention before, but we have a mobile market that we take to 9 different stops around New Haven. And that one is over 50% is from coupons. So a mix of farmers market nutrition coupons and SNAP coupons. So yeah, it does depend a lot on location.
With the farmers markets being mostly available in the summer, I wondered how City Seed tried to keep their consumers mindful for the rest of the year. Throughout the summer, they teach consumers about seasonality, to be in touch with the produce grown by their local farms. Also, as promised, you'll hear Frank Catelli singing in the background this time.
Yeah, I mean, we have lots of anecdotal stories of people who have learned to eat seasonally or who have learned to, you know, incorporate vegetables that they never used before because of the farmer's market. And I think that's a big reason we do demos and cooking education, because it's not just, you know, if I walk through this market and I have a certain amount I want to spend, I'm probably going to pick something I know, unless there's someone showing me what to do with something I don't know. So, you know, I think we have definitely anecdotal evidence of people who have gone through our cooking education programs. We have a group of cooking instructors that we've worked with to train on a program called Master Cooks Corps in partnership with Global Local Gourmet here in New Haven. And you know, that's a growing group. We just did a training last night. It's a growing group of cooking instructors who are trained to teach about seasonal eating and teach about local, and if someone wants to eat organic, how they can do that and what are the benefits. But mainly just focusing on getting more fruits and vegetables into the diet, into kitchens. So yeah, there's some, done a lot of work around that and definitely see some progress.
From the three voices you heard, there are a few common threads in how they view sustainability. First, sustainability is not just a practice of improving the environment, economy, and community. It's also a practice of improving personal health. Second, all three operations use behavioral nudging to encourage sustainability, because they hope to have individuals take agency of their own choices. Last, sustainability is an individual investment into the future, as much as it is a community investment into the future. For these three operations, the Elm City has what it takes to be sustainable. From New Haven, Mihir Rahman.